Welcome to Brain Power with Dr. Echo, where each week we discuss how your family can boost brain health by addressing mind, body, emotional, and environmental health. And now, here's the episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Brain Power with Dr. Echo. I have a wonderful guest with us today, Dr. Emeka Obidi. He's an amazing pediatrician, a father, amazing entrepreneur, a husband. Did I say that? Did I miss that one out? So, welcome to the podcast, Dr. Obidi, and I'm going to let you introduce yourself to the audience.
Sure. Thank you for having me on. This is going to be a wonderful time together. My name is Dr. Obidi, Dr. Emeka Obidi. I'm a pediatrician, I'm a certified pediatrician. I've been practicing for, I guess, maybe 20 years now. And it's crazy how time flies. But I'm a pediatrician. I run a family practice in Western Maryland, Hagerstown, Maryland, partners in pediatrics and family health, and also CEO of online education for new moms or expectant moms called Newborn Prep Academy, where we really educate moms on what to expect from their newborns and help them just take care of the newborns with a lot of confidence. And that's been fun to do as well. And thank you for having me on.
Yay, I'm so glad you're here. So we're gonna talk today about the things that parents need to look out for when picking a pediatrician, and even tips on how to make that relationship really rich so that you are getting the most out of the relationship you have with your child's doctor. So tell us, Dr. Obidi, what are some things that parents, first of all, should be looking for when they're trying to pick a pediatrician for their child?
I was just thinking, especially for, you know, your audience, that this is so important, because especially if you have a kid who may have a developmental concern that you're concerned about, or a kid with an autism diagnosis or anything, and this certainly applies for all kids, you know, even the healthy kids, your pediatrician is like this touch point for their health, right? And I'm going to use the word pediatrician to involve other clinicians that may take care of the kids also. So you might have an MP, a nurse practitioner, or a physician assistant caring for your kid. But it's really important that you are paying attention to that relationship and who you choose to be a pediatrician. Yes, you're going to look at things like, how far away is the office and what hours are they open and do they take my insurance? If you're using insurance for your healthcare and all of those. But at the end of the day, I think one of the most important factors is really being comfortable with this person. You know, of course, are they qualified to care for my kid? You know, and usually the vast majority of clinicians, providers are going to be qualified to care for your kid. But at the end of the day, there has to be that connection there. You have to have someone that you're comfortable speaking with, that you're comfortable bringing up concerns with, that you feel confident when they've given you some advice, that I feel confident that they've given me good advice that I can carry out or adhere to, and that it also someone that you can challenge as well. Like, if I don't understand this, you know, tell me why. So it's really important that there's that connection. And a lot of pediatricians will allow you come visit and come see them, you know, for a first visit just to get to meet them, which if that's possible, I think you should jump at that opportunity. If you're a mom expecting a child, or I've even had that happen in my practice where a parent or parents have a kid with special needs, and they're not quite sure. They've probably had some bad experiences in the past, and so they've wanted to come see me first and just sort of meet me. And I've been completely okay with that, you know. And so I think it's important that there's that connection.
You're absolutely right. I like the part where you said make somebody that you can ask questions of, because it's so important that parents feel comfortable asking. And parents, I want you to remember that you know your child the best. We pediatricians eat your child for a few minutes, right?
Yes.
Or what, 30 minutes at best. But you know your child the best. And it's so important for you to ask the questions, because we don't always know all the, I mean, sometimes we ask our basic questions, but if you have any questions, it's so important to ask and feel comfortable asking those questions and not feel like you're being put down if you ask questions. So
yeah. Yeah. No, very much, because I think a lot of times parents are intimidated by our credentials and our training. And traditionally, you know, the physician is sort of put on this pedestal that can never make any wrong, you know, do anything wrong. And traditionally, you've also had oftentimes, unfortunately, doctors who are like, you know, why are you challenging what I said? You know, I'm the one who's the expert. I went, you know, spent all these years in school studying this material. You know, how dare you tell me that you don't think that's what's correct, what's going on, right?
Right.
Or even be offended when you say, well, on Google, you know, Dr. Google said X, Y, Z, like, how can you bring up Dr. Google when I am the expert here, right? But that doesn't help, right? Because then what happens is you have parents who are afraid to mention something that they're concerned about because they don't want to appear stupid or put down for bringing up this concern, right? So it's really important that you choose someone you're comfortable with bringing up concerns.
Yes, it's so critical. And let's talk about the parents who may not completely say all that's going on with the child because they have a fear of a diagnosis.
That's the difficult one, right? I think that's why I said you also have to try and pick someone or develop that relationship with your pediatrician where you are comfortable or have some degree of confidence in what they're, in the information they're passing on to you.
Right.
I know that there can be a human tendency. And I think this sometimes has to do with personality. There's some people who just want to know it. Tell me what, like if I said, I have good news and bad news, you know, what do you want first? And like, tell me the bad news. Just get it out of the way, right? And there's some people who like, donate the bad news for as long as possible. Maybe don't even tell me, right? So sometimes it may have to do with personality as well. But when it comes to your child, though, on a serious note, if there is a concern, wishing it away is not going to change that, right? And oftentimes in pediatrics and what we do, kids are still developing. And so there are times where the earlier you can identify something, the better the outcome is down the road when you're able to bring the right treatment plan to bear, whether that's medication or therapy or whatever, right? So take something as simple as a speech delay, right? If there is a speech delay, trying to wish it away or say, no, they're just late talkers. No, you know, their older brother just, you know, spoke when he was like 3 years old and he's fine right now. Like, you know, no. Like if there's a concern, there's nothing wrong in saying this child has a speech delay because then we can start some speech therapy early. And the earlier that starts, the better the outcome down the road, right? I mean, I'm a pediatrician. I have 3 kids. My youngest, who's 10 years old now, our son, there was some speech delay, right? And I was able to, we have a great program here, Birth to 5 Infant Toddlers program that I got him hooked to earlier on. I can't remember how old he was now, maybe 3 years old. And it did wonders. He really blossomed and in no time he graduated from the program and, you know, now we can stop talking. But yes, so things like that, the earlier, I mean, an autism diagnosis is the big one, right? Parents are just afraid to hear that diagnosis. Understandably, you know, I hats off to, I always say to my parents who are parents or special need kids, whatever that diagnosis, hats off to you. Because that is, you know, those are heavy shoes to walk in and big shoes to walk in. And those parents just have big hearts and just such large capacity to care for their kids. It's amazing the love they have for their kids. Right. But a diagnosis like that, the further out you get that diagnosis made, the more difficult it is to provide that timely intervention to have as good an outcome as you can.
Yeah.
So yes, it's a difficult diagnosis to hear. Yes, there's probably going to be some difficult road to walk through, but we're starting this early enough where there's also a possible better outcome at the end of the day also. Or at least I'm getting all the support I need, right?
Yes, that's such a critical... I'm so glad you brought that up because we as pediatricians always talk about 0 to 5. Like that, that period is such a critical period for brain growth. So if there's any issues going on there, it's best to identify then. You can do the turnaround and that's when the brain
growing the most. So it goes in the different, in the positive direction versus wait till the child is 8 and now we're trying to go back and try. Doesn't mean it can't happen. It's just
absolutely
a road to climb than if the child is between the ages of under 5, then it's actually easier to make changes.
Yes, absolutely.
So I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. And for parents to know that, back to your point about the supports, because if they have to hear a difficult diagnosis, then they want someone who can walk beside them on the journey that they go on to help them.
And like I said earlier on, parents, they are their child's best advocates. They really, like you said, we get to see them for just a few minutes at a time, but they are there with that child all day long, day in, day out. So when you notice, when you're uncomfortable about something you're noticing in your child, you want to certainly bring it up and so it's addressed early. But also, it's the other way around. Also, if the pediatrician is mentioning something that they're concerned about, because sometimes as pediatricians, a child comes into the exam room or into our space and we can just tell there's maybe something off, right? With the interaction, with the way they're carrying themselves, with what they're saying or how they're looking or what they're doing, right? And so sometimes our own warning bells go off, like, oh, there may be something here. And so we're digging into it some more, right? So it's a two-way street. And if your pediatrician is telling you something maybe off with your child, hopefully they're saying, bringing it up in a sensitive way. But you should also feel comfortable asking questions or challenging that information or diagnosis in a way where, okay, there's back and forth. And okay, let's start. Okay, why do you say that? What should, my son or daughter be doing right now that you're not doing? Okay, could it just be maybe this is just delayed and there's nothing wrong, And so there's this back and forth. You should feel comfortable challenging the information. That at the end of the day, when we arrive at a plan, you're comfortable with that plan.
Right.
Oftentimes when I'm interacting with a parent, at the end of the day, when I've told them all these things we're going to do, I'm like, how does that sound to you? Because I really want to see, okay, do you feel like this is a workable plan? Because if I sense a hesitation, I'm like, okay, let's talk about it. Right? What part of this plan is uncomfortable or you feel is not correct? Or let's really delve into it. So maybe I'm giving you more reasoning why I think this is a great way to go, or listening to what you're saying. And maybe I haven't considered something else, right? So there's this back and forth, and that's why it's so critical to have the right pediatrician for your child, because it allows us to care for your kid and allows you to get care for your kid that is conducive to making sure you have the best health outcome.
2,000,000% correct. It's so critical, because you want peace of mind. If you as a parent, you're not, your mind is not at peace. Your child will sense that you're not at peace. And then the cycle just goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
It's your entire life and your day. So ask the question. If something seems off to you, trust your gut feeling.
Yeah. And there's also nothing wrong with getting a second opinion.
Yep.
Oftentimes when there's a concern, like if your parent brings up a concern and I feel like there's not much of a concern there. First of all, you want a pediatrician who will never dismiss any concern you have, like without first investigating. And investigating doesn't necessarily mean that we're doing some tests or that we're doing some therapy or whatever. It may just mean that we're asking questions.
Right.
That you don't say, oh, I'm concerned about, the way Johnny speaks. I'm like, oh, that he's fine. There's nothing wrong there. I just heard him speak right now. He's okay.
What?
Right? Look for someone else. Where's the exit door? Right? They should at least ask the question. Why do you say so? What's going on? Tell me some more about this, right? So that's part of that investigation. But if I do arrive, which oftentimes we do as pediatricians, right? Oh, no. I mean, we've seen so many kids. Well, we have our formal education. Oftentimes we have our own kids. Then we've also had experience taking care of so many kids. So sometimes we just know that, yes, they're concerned, but there's really not a concern here, right? So even if your pediatrician is saying, there isn't a concern right now, they should also be providing an environment where they leave the door open for you to bring this up again.
That's
so true. I often will say, okay, I think there's really nothing going on here. I think you're okay. I think, you know, this is normal, or this is a normal part of development, or I don't see what you're seeing right now. But let's see what happens over the next, you know, few weeks or next few months. Or, you know, let's see how things go, but bring it up again. If you're still concerned, bring it up again and let's look at it again, right? So that they feel, okay, I think I'm okay with this, right? He's not dismissing it or she's not dismissing it completely. They've given me some information. I'll consider it. I'll go back and look. But they've also left the door open for me to bring this up again.
Right.
And so that way you can say, hey, you know, I'm still concerned about his speech. I'm still concerned about the way she, you know, lines up her toys. I'm still concerned about the way she's interacting with, you know, people, you know, in her class, whatever. And then we can talk about it again and say, okay, maybe we should do something this time. Maybe I should send you for further testing or evaluations to see if there's something else there. And sometimes, you know, I will send parents just to get an evaluation, even when I think there's nothing there. If it's still a persistent concern, like you said, they're bothered, right? And sometimes there's value in just having someone else look at it and someone else tell them, okay, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just constipation. Use the Miralax the way Dr. B told you to use the Miralax and you'll be fine. And make sure you start to introduce more fruits and veggies and water and you'll be okay. But until they see a GI specialist, you know, to say the same thing, they're going to be concerned that there's really something else causing the constipation and not the fact that, you know, my daughter only drinks like 5 ounces of water a day.
And only eats chicken nuggets.
And trust me, we've all been there. My actual son has to deal with constipation. You know, he had to remind him to drink his water. And so we are saying this as parents who are in the same shoes, right? Or who are still in the same shoes.
Our kids too have had constipation. And I know that's what I talk about a lot these days, because a lot of the kids I take care of with autism and ADHD, they are all constipated. So for sure. Parents are the best parent for your child. Don't ever forget that fact. And I like what you said about them being the first advocate. And that's so important to just empower parents to know that they absolutely have to ask the question. Don't feel intimidated. We're just human beings. See, we are laughing.
We are, exactly. We don't bite.
No, we definitely don't bite. We have to find a non-biting person.
Right. I haven't worn a white coat in like 20 years. So,
right, exactly. I don't wear one either, because there is some psychological thing there with kids and people in white coats. And it's just to know that you are in charge of your child. And yes, you may not know all the medical lingo, but you know your child better than any other human being. So, that we may miss, please bring it up. The thing that you miss, and if we bring it up, we'll have an open mind and just have a dialogue. So,
I think, you know, one of the other things also, I'm just thinking about it, is, and this will go back to maybe, especially if you're looking for a pediatrician for the first time, is trying to get a bit more about trying to see if your philosophy is also line up, right, with just healthcare and the way you care for your kid in the first place. Can you feel there's a collaboration there and not someone who's just going to dictate what, you know, needs to be done. Like, don't question me. This is what we need to do. Right. And then in some things where you want to make sure you have a pediatrician who sort of lines up with how you think about life in medicine and the place for traditional medicine and the place for complementary medicine and the place for all of these things, right? If your mom who loves to be able to explore more holistic care or more natural ways of caring for things, and you have a pediatrician who thinks, you know, all of those have no place whatsoever in your child's care, you're both going to like butt heads, right? And you're going to say, oh, can't we try this? And they're like, no, you have to take this medication, right? But you may also have rules may be reversed also, where your mom who doesn't believe in any of that complementary care, but a pediatrician is always pushing that complementary care, right? So you should sort of make sure that your philosophies are aligned somewhat, you know, generally speaking. I think I find that that helps also. Yeah. And not to say that you must always be on the same side. That's where also the communication and the back and forth and being comfortable talking about things is important. But where that's maybe a big you know, a big way you see the world. It's helpful to have someone walk alongside with you as a healthcare practitioner who sees the world that way too.
Yes, absolutely right.
Take like notes. I would tell you what I tell my, and especially my parents of newborn, I say, bring out your phone. They bring it out. I'm like, that's my best friend right there. I want you to like open up a note section. As questions come up during the course of the days and weeks and months, put them down there so that when you come in, you don't forget. If something looks funny, just take a picture of it or a short video recording, because, you know, unless you're a great actor or actress, it's better to just show me the recording and try to act out what they were doing.
Oh, I love that. Yes. Your phone is your best friend.
Just don't tell me the poop kind of look like, there should be a picture of the poop. I'm like, oh, that's normal poop. Oh, well, maybe we should look into that some more. That poop looks funny.
Absolutely. Oh, that's an important one. Yes, we might as well use the technology that we have.
Yeah, I've not used it.
Yeah, and make voice notes if you have to yourself.
Make voice notes, yes. That's a good one. Yeah, I'm going to add that to my list.
Well, I have patients. I mean, like things like seizures, for sure. If you could catch a video of it, it's so important than describing what possibly could have happened. I mean, sometimes it's not possible, but if you can, yes. The more pictures you can take, it helps us. Absolutely. Because we want to see what's really going on. And
I saw a parent just the last few weeks whose newborn baby had some eye movements, and she thankfully had captured videos of it. And I said, I was like, I think we should really look into that some more. It's not maybe the classic way seizures will appear in kids, but there's a little bit more going on here too that I'm comfortable for. Doesn't seem like it's just, you know, let's get some, just look at some more. And so having a senior neurologist, but if all she went on was just the description, and may have said, yeah, kids do that sometimes, you know, because do that sometimes, right? But me seeing it, I was able to tell, okay, this doesn't look like it's quite normal. Let's make sure that it's not normal. And maybe there isn't anything there, but at least my antenna went up a little bit more just seeing it.
Yes. And again, it's early enough where if there's something there,
you
get taken care of. Yes.
Exactly.
Or we're all in this together. It's a journey. Yes. All holding hands. We haven't arrived. Nobody's arrived. We're all here to help. Yeah. So, yes, for sure.
And you know, you're saying something there, which is really important also. I think you want a healthcare professional, and this may even just be for yourself as well, your own provider, that doesn't give up the air of, I've learned everything I need to learn, and there's no more to learn. I embody the fullness of all medical knowledge. That's a red flag, right? But all still learning, right? All still learning. You know, I learn from my parents all the time too. Like, oh, interesting. I've never used that before. Oh, really? You saw that site? Oh, really? Interesting. Let me go look it up and see what that is, right? Because we're all learning. And so you want someone who, you know, who's open to saying, oh, interesting, you saw this as a possible remedy for this condition. Let me take a close look at it, right? I may not go and do all the research, but at least I'm open to saying, let me consider it and see what I think about this and give you my opinion.
Please share this with your friends that are having babies or not even have had the baby, so that they can prepare in advance. And even if you've had multiple kids and you need a new pediatrician, these are still tips that will help you.
Yes.
So please tell our parents where they can find out more about the newborn prep course, which, by the way, makes such a great, that would make a great present for like a baby shower. Because you're giving the gift of a pediatrician in the mommy's ears, and she can hear all the things she needs to get ready. So tell them where they can find out.
Absolutely, totally. So it's one of my passions is newborns. I just love caring for newborns. They light up my day whenever I care for them, right? It's so cute. And I love it when I'm taking care of them and the baby's crying and mommy's doing all for us. I'm like, if this crying is bothering me, I'm in the wrong profession. Don't worry about it. So I have an online effort called Newborn Prep Academy. It's a great resource for expectant moms or recently delivered moms who are just wondering what to do with this little cute bundle of joy that sometimes makes them pull their hair apart because they don't understand what this poop is looking like or what this cry is about or what to do with the circumcision or what to do with the umbilical cord and all the different questions that moms and parents have. So it's called Newborn Prep Academy, and they can go to newbornprepacademy.com. or find us on YouTube also. We'll have all the links hopefully in the show notes, but lots of great information there. And, you know, for those who are preparing to have a baby or just delivered one, there's a course on there that's available also, the newborn preparation course that really goes through all the things that helps you start caring for your newborn more confidently. You know what to expect, you know how to troubleshoot some simple things, what things are red flags that you should look out for, what things are probably just normal and path of the course. And so they can find all of that there. And then for those who are looking for a pediatrician, we are out in Hagerstown, Maryland, so Western Maryland. So if you're in the Washington County area in Maryland, the practice is Partners in Pediatrics and Family Health. We care for both kids and adults, but have a large pediatric population. So we're pediatricians and providers who will be more than willing to sit down with you and walk alongside with you this journey of caring for your kids. So you can check us out, and we'll have all the links in the show notes as well.
It's wonderful. So parents, if you're in that area, if you're in Hagerstown, you need to go see Dr. Obidi. You'll take excellent care of your kid. Thank you so much, Dr. Obidi, for coming on today. It's such a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you for having me on. It was wonderful as well. Thank you.
And parents, have a wonderful day until the next episode. And I hope you share this and you leave us a review as well. We appreciate it. Have a wonderful day.